Okay, you're tuned to WHPK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are now listening to the Sitting in the Park show. Today I have a very special show because we will be starting off the show with an interview. I have on the phone right now, all the way from Gary, Indiana, a member of a ton of groups from both the Gary and East Chicago area, a singer named Delroy Bridgman. So Delroy, can you hear me right now?
Hello?
Delroy, can you hear me? Hey, Delroy, can you
hear me? Yeah, no, I can't hear you too good.
You can't?
Sound like you're all way off in the distance.
So you can't hear me. Can you hear me now?
It's still very low.
Very low, okay. I think something's wrong with the board and how the phone is set up, maybe. Can you hear me now?
Very, very barely.
Okay. Now I'm holding the phone straight up, because usually the mic should be going straight into the phone. How about now? Can you hear me now?
No, that's a little better.
Okay, so now can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I think some buttons weren't pushed down on the board, so I think hopefully I fixed it. So hopefully we could talk now. So now can we talk? You can hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, great. I'm sorry. I apologize for the technical problems, but hopefully it's solved.
I know how that happens.
Okay, so first of all, your name is Delroy Bridgman. Is that correct?
Yes.
And where are you originally from?
I'm originally from East Chicago, Indiana.
Okay, so were you born and raised there?
I was born and raised there.
And how did you first get into music?
You won't believe it. In elementary school, we used to sit, we had music class, but then my teacher, and I still remember her name, Mrs. Lutz, we had to sit and listen to Mozart and all those classical music. And strangely enough, I loved it. I loved the music. And I just loved music. So ever since elementary, I've been trying to sing and just enjoyed music.
So you had one of the first vocal groups from East Chicago, is that right?
Yes.
What was the name of your vocal group?
Before the Senators, it was a little group we had. Maybe we were in the 7th, 8th grade. It was called the Latons.
Okay, there was a group called the Latons that recorded on a label called Port. That was that your group?
No, that wasn't us. We were just a little local group, you know, just 7th and 8th grader, just grabbing a name out of the sky, naming ourselves.
So you guys never recorded?
No, no.
And what years was that?
What year?
Yeah.
It had to be about 1954. Boy, I'm dating myself, 55.
Okay, and I understand from East Chicago there was another group that I think maybe was even earlier than you called the Dream Kings, is that right?
Right.
Did you know those guys?
Yes, I did. I knew the lead singer, I think it was William Mabron.
So did they inspire you at all? Like, did you look up to those guys?
Those guys and the Spaniels. The Spaniels was right up the road from Gary, Indiana, and the Eldorados, which were out of Chicago. You know, we used to hear all the songs on the radio, so we were influenced and inspired by all the doo-wop groups in it locally, you know.
So would you say those were like the three main groups that kind of inspired you to sing?
Right.
Okay.
Mainly the Spaniels.
So did you go to school with the Dream Kings?
Well, I went to East Chicago, Washington, and I think the Dream Kings might have went to East Chicago Roosevelt, some of them.
Okay, I didn't even know East Chicago had multiple high schools in it.
We had two. One on the west side of the city, and one on the east side.
Okay, and in your school, so what was the scene like back then? Like, were there a lot of groups singing, or was it just like your group? Were there a ton of groups singing back then in East Chicago?
No, it wasn't that many, but everybody wanted to sing. You know, we would just sing with each other on the corners and at school and try to get together a group. We would go to the Catherine House, which today would be called the Boys and Girls Club, you know, and hang out, you know. And they had a little room with a piano. I forgot about the Dales, too. They're influencers, too. We were crazy about the Dales.
So what year did the Senators form?
must have been in my junior year, I think, in high school.
So was that like late 50s sometime?
About 57, 58.
And how did the group form?
Fortunate enough, all the guys in the group, except for Fred Lockett, he had graduated. We all sung in a choral club together. We were all in a tenor section. Me, myself, Robert Hudson, or Ron Adelius, and Richard Burgess. We were all in the tenor section in the choral club at the high school.
Okay, and so you all sang together in the choral club, and you decided to form like an R&B group.
No, well, we always would listen to the music on the radio, and whenever the teacher would have to go out to the room, maybe he would have to go to the office or something, and we'd be in singing doo-wops in the choral club, you know, and everyone would be fascinated.
Okay, so you weren't supposed to be singing
no,
R&B.
No, we were singing. Shan Shan de Moore, ra-ta-da-ta-da, and all this old Boney Yeso, all these, you know, long hair songs, you know.
And the teacher would leave, and then you'd be doing what you weren't supposed
right.
to be doing.
Then he would get on us. But then, funny enough, when we really started doing good, the music choral director, Mr. Croxton, became our manager.
That's funny. So ultimately, you ended up signing a record deal. Is that right?
Right.
So, how long were the? Then, how'd you? First of all, how'd you come up with the name, the Senators?
Well, we were all from the same high school. We were all still in high school, and the reason we got the record deal, we asked the music director, Mr. Croxton, if he would help us because there was going to be a contest at the Baby Youth Center in Gary, Indiana. And we wanted to enter the contest because the first prize would be a recording contract for VJ Records. So he worked with us. We got our songs together and a little routine. And we entered the contest. And to our blessings, we won first place. And that's how we got the recording deal.
So the Senators, I understand you had two records. One was on Bristol Records and the other was on Abner Records, which was like VJ. Which one came first?
The Bristol record.
So you actually had a record before that contest?
Right.
So how'd you end up getting the record that happened? So actually you had a record before that contest, right? How'd you end up getting
that? I forgot. I don't know. Someone must have heard us singing somewhere because we would sing at teas and luncheons. Sock hops at different high schools, Griffiths and all around. So evidently someone from, I think the company was out of Hammond. They had a recording studio, a recording company called Bristol, and they heard us, and they recorded us.
Okay. And do you remember what the names of the songs were that you recorded at Bristol Records?
Scheming, Tafu, I can't remember the other two.
So you
it was four altogether, but, you know.
They just released two songs.
Yeah.
And did that record get any play?
I think we got enough play that we were able to go onto the dance show that they used to have in Chicago. Was it, I don't know, Jim Lounsbury had the teenagers would dance on TV?
Yeah, the Jim Lounsbury show.
Right, we were able to go on there and sing our record, you know.
So it got play in Chicago.
In the local area in Chicago, Hammond.
So did you guys mainly play in East Chicago and Gary, or did you guys also go to Chicago to play?
Mainly Hammond, Gary, Chicago, you know, that area, just a local area. We didn't go that big.
And you were still in high school when you were doing all that?
Juniors in high school.
And what was the lineup of the group on the record? Like, who were all the members?
Well, there was myself, there was Robert Hudson, Ron Adelius, Richard Berger, and a bass singer was Freddie Lockett.
And one thing that's interesting about your group, was it a mixed race group?
Right. Hey, you know what? We were ahead of our time. Yes, it was. And we were very good because we could sing the doo-wop or we could sing from sheet music, from being trained in the choral club.
So you're saying you could sing like all kinds of music, like doo-wop and pop? So
pop, classical, you name it.
So was East Chicago back then, was it pretty mixed? It's mixed like racially back then?
It was called the melting pot of the middle Midwest.
Okay. And so pretty much like the choral club was mixed, and that's how your group ended up being mixed.
Right.
Okay. So then you said you ended up winning a talent show in Gary.
Yes.
And that was sort of your choral club director. What was his name again?
Mr. Croxton.
He helped you get into the talent show and win the talent show.
Well, he helped us make sure, you know, my music was right, the voices, you know, and training the voices and just playing the music for us. In fact, he played on the talent show for us.
Do you remember what song you did at the talent show?
Oh, I think we sang Gloria. That was a song made famous by D. Clark.
Yeah. So you did the talent show, and then you ended up getting a recording deal out of it?
Yeah, we won first place, and first place was a recording contract.
So, and you actually beat out all the local Gary groups.
Wonderful, tough groups out of Gary. You know, Gary produced a lot of good singing groups, and we beat them all.
So when did you end up recording, and you were all still in high school at that point? Were you seniors at that point?
Well, I think Ron and Richard, that's were seniors. And, oh, no, Robert, too. And Fred had already graduated. I was a junior. And that's basically what broke up the group is that when those guys graduated, they all went off different ways to college, you know.
Okay, so the group broke up soon after the record was released?
Yeah. Well, it might have been.
Hello.
I know by the fall in September, it might have been out during the summer, but in the fall, everyone went off to college. So
okay.
That was the number one. We loved music, but education was number one in all of us minds. In fact, Robert that sung in the group, he has ceased now, but he ended up being a school teacher. And Ron Adelius, I forget what he does now, but he lives in Canada. And Richard Berger, well, I say Dr. Berger, is an eye doctor, I think, down in Carbondale or Southern Illinois. And Freddie Lockett has passed, too, so I'm the only one hanging around back here, you know.
So you're the only one of the senators that stayed in music.
Right.
So on Abner Records, they released two sides. One was called Julie, and one was called It Doesn't Matter.
Right.
Which was the A side?
It Doesn't Matter.
Okay, well, let me play that side, and we could talk some more.
And I haven't heard it in 20 years.
Okay. Okay, well,
go ahead.
I'll play the record, and we could talk some more.
Okay.
So this is the Senators with It Doesn't Matter. Thank you. Okay, that was just the Senators with a really nice cut called It Doesn't Matter, and that came out on Abner Records. I think it came out probably around 1959. Delroy, do you know if that's right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Should have been a senior.
Abner Records was a division of VJ Records, is that right?
Right. Being a young kid, I can understand. I say, why is it on Abner label, you know? But Abner, I guess he was a big executive. You know, Abner went on to be a big producer at Motown.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yep.
So that record, did it get any play in Chicago too?
Yes, oh yeah.
Did it get more play than the Bristol record?
Yes.
So, but then the group just broke. You were, so first of all, I forgot to ask, who sings each part on the record?
On the It Doesn't Matter, Robert Hudson sings lead. I think I'm singing first tenor, Richard Berger second, and Ron Adelius baritone. And Freddie Locke was singing bass.
Okay. So that's how many people did you just mention?
Five.
Okay. Okay, so, and then you said the group just broke up because everyone went to college after
right,
that.
In the fall.
So did you go to college too?
The following year I did. I went to Indiana State.
So you were in high school for one more year after
right.
that. Did you try to form a new group?
No, I don't think so.
So you just focus on your studies?
Uh-huh.
So,
no, I was focusing on football.
So the next group that I know you were involved with was a group called the Valiants. Is that right?
Right.
Were you?
This group came about, we were just messing around. This was after I was in the service. When I came over from the Navy, the guys approached me, hey, you know, want to get a group together, you know, Freddie Locke. No, I think take it back. Freddie had passed, but some of the other guys, Lou Washington and Solomon Art and Fred Kelly and Dennis Day, I think. And Lou Washington, too, you know. And so we just started messing around and sounding pretty good. So, hey, we tried to – well, we did record a record, and I think Gordon Keith produced it. You know, that's the same one that produced the Jackson 5.
So you said that you went to college and you went to the service, or you just went
to
the
service? Well, I only went to college for a year.
And then you went to the service.
Right.
So what year did you come back?
Came back, I think, in 64.
And did you come back to East Chicago, or did you go to Gary?
I came back to Gary because my folks had moved to Gary.
Okay. So at that point you were living in Gary, and did you decide to get back into music at that point?
Oh, it never left me because I was singing while I was in the Navy.
Okay, so in the Navy did you actually have a
not a group, but just singing? You know, I might be in a club and the band was just cooking, and I asked if I could sing a number, and they said yeah. Then I would just have a jam, and they said wow. Turn the place out. They did what would it sing. I was out singing the lead singer that's with the band, you know.
That's cool. So this group called the Valiants, you mentioned some of the members. How did you know them, like, and how did the group form?
Well, we all grew up together. They're all from East Chicago. And then no matter where you're at, all singers always know the singers, you know.
So were they all East Chicago people that also got transplanted to Gary?
No, I'm the only one who got transplanted to Gary. The rest of them stayed in East Chicago.
Okay, so
I would go over to visit, you know, and hang out, you know, on off days from work and sing. And plus, I went to church over there in East Chicago too. So we all kept in touch, you know.
So
we're all in contact.
So you mentioned yourself as a member. Who were the other members?
Well, there was, like I say, there was Solomon Art, there was Fred Kelly, there was Dennis Day, and Lou Washington, didn't like the name Ludi, so he just called himself Lou.
Okay, yeah, and that's one thing I wanted to ask about is, was his real name Ludi, like L-U-D-I-E?
Yes.
Because on his, and then on his records later, he called himself Lou space D.
Right.
But his real name was Ludi, right?
Right, yes.
Okay, and Fred Kelly, was he related to Rose Kelly of the Opals?
That was Rosie's brother.
Okay. So you were pretty much all from East Chicago, but
right.
You were living in Gary.
Right. But I was born and raised in East Chicago, so everybody knew everybody over there, you know. Played sports together, sang together, swam at the swimming pool. Just had a fun time, you know.
So how'd you come up with the name The Valiants?
You know, I don't know.
Okay. So did the group form around 64 when you came back?
Yeah, 64, 65, somewhere in there.
So one thing that's interesting is you released at least one record, and the record that I have, it was called Tell Me What You're Gonna Do.
Right.
And the flip of it is called I've Shed a Tear, and it came out on a label called Destination.
Right, I think it was a label out of Chicago.
Yeah, and that's a label that released some soul music, but a lot of rock music also.
Uh-huh.
And but one thing that's interesting is I was looking on the Internet, and there's a website that lists 45s that came out of Indiana.
Yeah.
And they list another record that came out by the Valiants on Steeltown Records, which was Gordon Key's label. And it's got I've Shed a Tear and then a different song on the other side. But do you remember doing another song also?
No, I don't remember. I remember I've Shed a Tear, and Fred Kelly sung the lead on that. And I sung the lead on Tell Me.
Okay. So there might be another record. You just don't remember whether
right.
It came out or not.
Yeah, you know, you charge it to a senior citizen moment.
Okay. And then I was looking at the record, and actually Gordon Key's name's not on it, but it's got Ben Brown and Maurice Rogers, who I know Maurice was from East Chicago, right?
Right. And great piano player and arranger. He done a lot of arranging for us and for Gordon.
And Ben Brown was also involved with Steeltown.
Yeah, Ben Brown was a drummer. He played the drums on a lot of sessions.
Okay. And so they were also involved with the production of your record, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember where you recorded the record?
It might have been at, I don't know if that's Boulevard Records. There's a recording company. I think it was on Michigan Avenue. I think it was a recording company down there. Well, I mean a recording studio back in the day, but I can't remember. But it was over in Chicago. I think it was Boulevard Recording Studio.
What was it called?
Boulevard.
Boulevard Recording?
Studio.
Okay.
Wrong though. Like I said, that's so long ago. Wow.
Okay, and this record came out around 64, so it was a steel. So it was a Gary production.
But Destination.
But it was licensed to Destination Records.
Right.
Okay. Well, let me play the record because it's a nice record, and then we could talk some more about the record.
All righty.
So this is the Valiants with. Tell me what you're going to do. And this came out probably around 1964, sometime around that time. And here it is. Thank you. Okay, you're tuned to WHBK 88.5 FM in Chicago. You are listening to the Sitting in the Park show. That was just a nice record by a group from East Chicago, with one of the members living in Gary at the time, a group called The Valiants. That was Tell Me What You're Gonna Do. And I have on the phone right now a singer named Delroy Bridgman. Delroy, were you singing lead on that record?
Yes.
And that record came out somewhere around 1964-65. And on that record, it came out on a label called Destination, which was a Chicago label, but it was actually a Gary production leased to the Chicago label.
Right.
And you may have, we're still not sure, you may have even had a second record that came out on Steeltown Records and Gary, but I've never seen it. But the internet says you might have had one.
Uh-huh.
So that record came out, and you said you sing lead. What parts do the other members sing?
Well, I think Solomon Art, I think he was singing first tenor. And Lou Washington was singing second, and Fred Kelly was singing baritone.
Okay, and on the flip, who sings lead?
Fred Kelly is singing lead on the I've Shed a Tear, and I think I was singing second, and Solomon was singing first, and Lou was singing baritone.
Okay, and so did the group actually do shows around town?
You know what? No, I think we were just singing, just recording, and if the record did something, then we probably would take off and do shows. But Lou was doing something by himself too, you know.
So you were almost just like a studio group that
right.
just formed to record.
Right.
And Lou did record a lot of records by himself.
Yeah, it's pretty good ones there. He done a duet with Rosie Kelly.
That Smokey record?
Right.
Yeah, Lou recorded at least 5-6 records.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of the partners. He was one of the people that helped form Steeltown Records, right?
Yeah.
So pretty much the group formed and then broke up pretty quickly.
Right, everyone, but their different ways, you know, had their own projects and ideas.
So
they had to go.
So what did some of the – like we're going to be talking about what you did after, and we know what Lou did. What do you know what some of the other members – do you know if any of the other members did anything? Like did Fred Kelly do anything afterwards?
No, he never did, you know. He just worked, and then, you know, people from East Chicago know Solomon Art. I think he ended up being the fire chief in the city of East Chicago.
Okay. Did he do any other music stuff?
No, he didn't. You know, that was the last of his music. And, you know, Lou went on, he got into acting. He moved to California, and he was in a few films, you know.
I never knew that, actually.
Yes, but I think I might have been in one with, I can't think of the name of, but he was in a few movies out there.
Okay, so and was there another member you said with the last name Day? Is that right?
Dennis Day. Now Dennis Day went on to he's singing now, but he went on to college too. He went on to Fisk, and I think he sung with the Fisk Jubilee Singers, and now he lives in New York, and I think he's in production. He's still into music, you know, somewhat, you know.
Okay, so the next music thing that I know you were involved with was a thing called Kenneth and Delroy. So were you involved with any music stuff in between that and the Valiants?
No.
So
like I told you before, of all the recordings I ever done and had been a part of, that had to be one of the worst product that we ever produced. I couldn't be sounding like that. I say, geez, but...
So the Kenneth and Delroy record you did, it came out, I think, around 67, is that right? Something like that?
67, 68, somewhere.
And that came out on Gordon Keith's Steeltown label.
Yeah, Steeltown.
So what's the story? Who was Kenneth?
Kenneth was just a young man around in music. He played the guitar. I guess he was trying to get into music, and I don't know. He might have ran into him somewhere, and he told me he wrote some songs, and I listened to him, you know. Then we started just messing around. We sounded like Sam and Dave singing, you know. That's why they call us Kenneth and Dale, you know.
So that
we
was
just did the one recording together, and It was a disaster as far as records go.
So that was the idea, that you would be like a Sam and Dave duo.
Right.
And so the record you did, it was called Let Me Hold You Close.
Yeah, that was written and produced by and arranged by Gordon Keith.
And they even spelled your name wrong on half the pressings of the record.
Well, it went along with the song.
So,
and then it might be good. They won't know who I am.
So the record. One thing I wanted to ask is there's some backing singers on the record. You don't remember who the backing singers are, do you?
I would have to hear the record, you know, and it probably was me and Kenneth, you know.
So you think that you probably just overdubbed yourself or something?
Right, with some background.
Okay, so that record. So and it didn't get any play, did it?
No.
And one thing, and that Valiant's record before, did that get any play?
That got a little play, yeah. Well, around locally, you know, I heard on the Gary stations, and might have heard on one of them Chicago stations, but it did get a little play.
Okay, but you still didn't tour, even though it got some play.
No, we didn't. I don't think we sung anywhere together.
Okay, so then you were still kind of in the local music scene. Were you always trying to form a group, or were you singing in other people's groups around that time? Because
I was doing a lot of writing myself, you know, and I said, well, the last recording I did, I just had some Maurice arranged and everything, and I sung the background and lead, and I got a few people to back give me some backup singing, you know.
Okay. Well, one thing I want to ask about is you actually were involved in the Jackson 5's first recording, right?
Well, yeah, that's really comical how that happened. Like I say, we were in the studio. We were on the same label, you know.
With Kenneth and Delroy?
Knew everybody.
So Pardon? You're saying, was that around the time that Kenneth and Delroy was coming out?
No, it might have been a little after we had, you know, faded away.
So how were you in the – so how did you end up being involved with the Jackson 5 Big Boy record?
Well, Solomon Art and Gordon Keith, we were at the studio to record something or overdub something, and their background, just a little few spots in the background, wasn't correct, and instead of wasting the time and money to bring them over another day, we were over in the studio, and we were on the same label anyway, so we just overdubbed the background, you know, to correct the mistakes that were in it.
So you're saying that you and Solomon Ard, who was in the Valiants, do extra backup vocals on Big Boy?
Right.
Were you there actually at the session while the Jackson 5
were? No, when they recorded the session, I was there, but Solomon and the other guys weren't there, you know.
Where was the session recorded?
I don't know the name of the studio, recorded studio in Chicago. He was in Chicago, too.
Do you remember where in Chicago?
I sure don't. Yeah. I don't know if this is right on the west side or right off downtown. You know, not downtown, but, you know.
Okay. And do you remember anything about the day that you remember hanging out with the Jackson 5 while they were recording it?
Yeah, I was at the studio that night, and it was late, about 10, 11. You know, I know they had been in school all day, you know, and it was at the studio. So I went out and brought them sandwiches, you know.
Oh, you're saying because they were hungry or something?
Well, it would have been a studio, so it was past dinner time, and it was late, you know. But I had been to their house and, you know, met the family and all that, you know. Then sometime Gordon would call me. They would be having rehearsal somewhere, or maybe at Bud Pressino Studio or something, and I would pick them up sometime and give them a ride to where they were supposed to be going, you know. Dad might have been working or something, you know.
Okay, so
that was back when everybody was trying to make it, you know, and everybody knew everybody.
So you're saying everybody from Gary would kind of help each other out,
right?
So you're saying you were in the studio of the day that the Jackson
yes.
5 were recording, but that's not the day that you added extra vocals to it. You were just kind of hanging out that day,
right?
And then you were saying later you were in the studio with Solomon Ard, and later you and Solomon added extra vocals to it.
Me, Solomon, George Reyes, and I think Gordon even sings on the background.
Who's George Reyes?
He's another singer from East Chicago. He wasn't in any group, but we knew he was a singer.
So at that point, did you have a group together? Like, why were you even – because you weren't even with – because Kenneth and Delroy were gone at that point, right? Like, why were you with Gordon at that point? What were you doing?
We were recording. We had several artists on the Steel Town label, you know. So I don't know what the particular were. I don't know if they were doing a band track, laying down some tracks or what, but we just happened to be there, you know.
But, I mean, you weren't an artist on Steel Town at that point, were you?
Yeah, I was still part of it as an artist.
What were you in a group or as a solo artist or what?
I don't know how you would say it as a solo artist. Maybe both solo artist and a group. But the group weren't together. But if anything happened, you know, we would come together for something, you know.
So you don't remember if Steel Town released any more recordings on you as a solo artist or
no,
group?
No, I know they didn't do that.
And you don't remember the name of any other groups that you were with at Steel Town at that point?
Just the Valiants and Kenneth and Dale, you know.
Okay.
And then I would help, you know. I don't know, I didn't think I sang in the background on Lou's records, but
okay.
Just the Valiants.
Okay. Yeah, because I was telling you before, there was another group that I was trying to find out about called the Melatones that cut a record, but you said you didn't remember anything about that group.
I think they were from Gary.
Okay. Okay, so basically you said you were a Steel Town artist at the time, and you maybe even recorded for Gordon Keith, but he never released anything on you. So you just had
that Kenneth and Delroy record.
But you were saying after that you were still recording for him, and that's why you were in the you happened to be in the studio when they were like mixing the Jackson 5, and you did extra vocals for.
Well, I used to help with transportation. They needed a ride. Hey, you want to give a we need a ride over here? Could you help us get over? You know, help them, the band. You know, carry the instruments or either. The group, if they needed a ride somewhere, you know,
okay.
I was just being helpful.
Okay, but at that point, you weren't with the Jackson 5. You were just with Gordon in the studio, right?
Right.
Do you remember
We were very good friends. You know, we grew up together.
You and Gordon did, you're saying?
Yeah, we went to high school together.
Was Gordon from? Oh, because Gordon is one of the. Well, Gordon's from East Chicago, also, right?
Yes.
So was Gordon, so what studio, were you at Bud Pressner's studio?
We were there, but I don't know what we were doing, who we were recording there, but I know I've picked those up, I've taken the Jackson 5 down to the Bud Pressner, I don't know what they were doing down there.
But where were you adding the extra vocals at, was it?
This was a studio in Chicago.
Oh, in Chicago you were adding extra vocals at it.
Yeah, or overdubbing.
Okay. Okay, so you ended up with three other guys adding a little bit of extra background vocals to Big Boy.
Right.
So can I hear you on Big Boy? Like, what parts can I hear you in?
No, you probably can't figure out. I'm probably a second tenor.
Okay.
this old doo-wop harmony. You can't tell who's singing.
It's all blended in, you're saying.
Right.
Okay, so that's cool. So the next thing musically you were involved with that actually ended up recording, you were in a band called the World Column, is that right?
Right.
So what's the story with that band?
Well, actually, Bob brought me to the group.
Who was Bob?
Bob Reddy.
So what's the story of the World Column? Who were the World Column?
Pardon?
What was the World Column? Like, were they a vocal group? Were they a band?
They were both. Actually, a band, and I don't. They picked up. Bob was in the group, but he brought me. You know, me and Joe Odom to the group. But basically, they were just a heavy metal rock band.
So they were like, were they something like a kind of mixed race horn rock soul band, something like that?
The World Column was, but before Bob, Joe, and I joined the group, they were an all white group.
Okay, so you and Bob were the first black members of the group.
Me, Bob, and Joe Odom.
Joe Odom.
Three blacks in the group.
So was the group originally from Gary, or were they from Chicago?
The group was originally from Munster, Indiana.
Okay, that's interesting. So then how did Bob – do you know how Bob got affiliated with the group or found the group?
No, I don't. But what he got affiliated, I guess they needed some vocals, so he came and got me and Joe, you know, because Bob knew everyone too, you know.
So they were just like a band, and then they needed some vocalists,
right.
And they brought in – and they were like a horn rock band, which was popular with a lot of the white bands in Chicago, right?
No, they didn't have any horns in the group.
Oh, they didn't?
It was all organ, guitar, and drums.
Okay, that's interesting. So
I take that back. Dave did play a little sax, but he basically done a lot of lead singing, Dave Myers.
Okay. So they brought you in the group. What year did you join the World Column?
Oh, boy. That had to be early 70s.
Okay, I think the record, the first record came out probably late 60s, sometime like that.
Okay, 69, 60.
Maybe 1970, sometime around
right.
That time. So you're saying Bob found them first, and then he brought you and someone named Joe Odom into the group.
Right.
So was Bob from Gary also?
Yes, Bob and Joe both were from Gary.
And Bob's last name was Redding.
Yes.
And had he sang in any other groups?
I don't think so, but he was a heck of a singer.
I heard he sounded a lot like Curtis, is that right?
Yeah.
And had Joe sang in any other groups?
He might, in high school he might have, but Joe was a baritone bass singer.
Okay. And so were you the three singers that ended up being on the record?
Yes.
Okay. And wasn't one of the Passions in the group too?
That's just come to think about it. I'm trying to think.
No, he
came later on. He was with the New World.
Okay. So it ended up being three singers, and then you ended up cutting a record called So Is the Sun.
Right.
So do you remember how long the group was together with you three guys in it before you got a record deal?
Oh, boy. I know we were together maybe a couple of years or a year, you know. Maybe a year because, hey, we was setting the stages ablaze wherever we played.
Okay. So you guys actually played, and what was the circuit like? Because it must have been interesting being kind of like a mixed race group. Did you play like white clubs, black clubs?
Yeah,
like what
mostly
type?
Mostly white. And, you know, you remember Dex Carr?
I'm not old enough.
Well, he used to have a lot of shows around the area, and we played on a show with the Paul Revere and the Raiders and remember the Buckinghams?
Yeah.
Well, I think we opened up for the Buckinghams at the clubs where Dex Carr would hold these dances. And we played with Ask Rufus. That was another group out of Chicago.
That group evolved out of the American Breed, right?
Ask Rufus?
Yeah.
With the Chaka Khan was the lead singer.
Yeah. So you kind of were part of like the rock scene in Chicago,
right? And over here in the in northern Indiana area, you know.
So did you play mainly in Chicago or mainly in Indiana?
Mainly in Indiana with the World Column.
Okay. So you released this record, So Was the Sun, and it was on Tower Records. Do you remember how you got the deal with Tower Records?
I think we went somewhere in audition for the record producer in Chicago somewhere, you know. And he liked us, and they recorded us, and we recorded. It wasn't Universal. It's another big studio not too far, and I can't remember the name of that studio in Chicago, but that's where we recorded. It's the same studio where, can't think of this other big star recording artist recorded at, but it was another studio in Chicago where we recorded the song, you know.
Okay, well, let me play the record and we can talk some more.
Right.
So this is a nice record too.
What, So Is the Sun?
Yeah. So this is the World Column, and this track is called So Is the Sun. Okay, that was just the World Column, and that track was called So Is the Sun. And if you're just tuning in, I have member of the World Column, Delroy Bridgman, on the phone. And Delroy is telling a story about all the groups that he sang in. So that record, I think it came out sometime around 1970, something like that. And Delroy was just talking about how the group sang in mainly like rock-type clubs around northern Indiana. Is that right?
Yes.
So who sings lead on that record?
Bob Redding sings the lead on So Is the Sun.
And who else sings on the record? Is it just
Joe Odom and Dave Meyer.
And you?
Me, yeah. Joe Odom, Dave Meyer, and Bob.
So there's four guys singing, and it's you three guys plus the original white vocalist from the original band.
Right.
So and how long did the – and so you recorded that one record on Tower, and then you released another record on Atco Records called Midnight Thoughts and Lantern Gospel. You don't remember how you got onto Atlantic Records, did you?
No.
Okay. And
that might have been two different groups.
I think it was the same group. It's definitely a Chicago group. So do you remember how long the group stayed together?
I know it was over a year, you know.
And you guys just played around clubs
right,
for a while?
Locally, you know.
So was it a big change for you kind of playing these rock clubs instead of playing R&B clubs?
That's what made us so unique. We were able to play all types of music. And whatever the crowd was, we could adjust to play whatever they liked, just that music. If it was the heavy metal, they liked Led Zeppelin or Black Sabbath or Crosby, Stills and Nash. Nash, we could do all that. Chicago.
So did you ever actually sing Black Sabbath?
No, I didn't. You know, Dave Myers might have. We have him do all those leads.
Okay. So so how did the group break up?
What I just said, the group wanted to do more blues and the heavy rock, you know, like I said, music like Led Zeppelin and stuff like that. And I guess we were pulling more toward Sly and the Family Stone and, you know, Earth, Wind and Fire. So, and then what really kind of faded apart, the lead guitar passed, died, you know.
Okay.
And so we just...
Drifted apart.
So then Bob, he got another group together, and we just call ourselves the New World. And this group had a horn section, you know.
So you actually had a band. The New World actually had a band
right,
also.
Right, had a horn section. And we just played everywhere from La Crosse, Wisconsin to Iowa. We were everywhere.
So what year did the New World form?
That had to be, I know that definitely was in the 70s, the early 70s.
Okay, because I know your record came out around 74 or something like that.
Okay.
So the New World was your band. So who were the vocal group members of the New World?
James Doyle, Doyle Cole.
And he was previously in the Passions, right?
Right. And, you know, they were backing up Denise Williams, and they had a few records out, nice records, you know. I guess they all kind of, you know what, I think the lead singer with the Passions left and went to California.
Roosevelt.
Right, so the group just faded apart, and then Doyle Cole just came with us and with the New World.
Okay, and who else was in the vocalist in the New World?
Bob Redding. We had the Lopez brothers, Tony and Joe Lopez, which Joe Lopez was the best drummer to ever come out of Gary.
So they weren't vocalists. They were.
Joe sung a little vocal, and Tony tried a little too, but Joe he sung a lot of Chicago. And then I think it was trying to remember the organ player's name. And I just had it here in front of me. Roger. What was Roger's last name? He had a nice Italian name, but I can't think of Roger's last name. Might have been DeRosa, I'm not sure.
So you were a mixed race group also.
Right. And then the horn section, there were three white guys on the horn. I had a sax, trumpet, and trombone. And
was the group all from Gary also?
No, they were from all over Crown Point, Gary. The Lopez brother was from Gary, but the horn section was from Crown Point, and the organ player was from Maryville.
Okay, and that group were any of the members besides the vocalists previously in the World Column, or were they all new?
They were all new.
Okay, and did Bob Redding find all the band members and kind of form them?
Yes.
And how long was the band together? And you said there was a female member. Was that later?
Yeah, that was Maxine.
Creighton.
Creighton.
So.
And what happened with the? The New World, the drummer passed. I said, geez. And they got sick, and then we ended up fading away, you know, breaking up, you know.
So how long was the band together? You guys played around local clubs, and you were like a slice?
Well, we played all over the Midwest. We were everywhere, different states. And but I tell you a funny story about the band. We played at, we were playing a lot of college towns, you know, and we played down in, I think it was Eastern Illinois. And we played a whole week at this club and didn't get paid.
Okay.
Guess why? We were supposed to go on at 9, and every night we were late. We'd go on to about 9:15. So at the end of the gig, the club owner, wherever, he stuck it to us. So you guys were late every night. I say, I don't believe this, but that's part of showbiz, you know.
You're just finding an excuse to rip you off.
Right.
So you guys, were you also playing at rock type clubs also, or did you play for more?
Oh, we played everywhere, down at, would that be Old Town? They had a huge, a famous club that was down in the basement. And we met Don Cornelius from Soul Train before he even got that big. He said he's going to try to do something for us. He's getting ready to help start a big project. And that was Soul Train was what that was going to be. He went out to California and started Soul Train on the TV.
And the group, what kind of songs did you do when you performed?
We done a lot of Chicago. And we did just about everything, you know.
Okay. And you end up signing a record deal to – how'd you end up getting a record deal?
With we were with the I forget the guy's name. They had the booking agency out of Kurtown. So we end up
– Was it Marv Stewart?
I think so.
Okay.
Did you know they asked us one time – this is another story. Say they had a girl they wanted to put in the group. All the guys in the group said, no, we don't want no girl in the group because it'd be too much trouble. And guess who the girl was?
Who was it?
Chaka Khan. Hey, wife had a no name. And she went on to be a big star, you know. But it took, we look about back at it now and got this last man, I don't know if it was her. We should have let her come into the group. She could have took us on to stardom.
And she ended up being in Rufus and not your group, right?
Right. Then she went on being all by herself, you know. Yeah, she was Rufus then. She's soloist by herself, a big star, big hit. But that's life. Who knows? Whatever's going to be is going to be.
Yeah, you got first pass on her, and then Rufus took her instead.
I don't know. The group might have been breaking up. I don't know what the situation was. You're right. Rufus picked her up.
So
oh, man. But they wanted her to come with us.
So you ended up signing a record deal with Kurtown Records. Is that right?
Yes, and...
So what do you remember? What year you signed with Kurtown Records?
I sure don't. It was in the middle, maybe the middle 70s, you know.
And do you remember how you got the deal?
Someone heard of Mars. Someone heard us, you know. But so they wanted us to come over to the studio and play. So we came over and played, and you know, I guess auditioned too. He listened to us. He liked us, you know. So the songs that we recorded, he wrote them.
Okay. Yeah, and one of the songs I think is written by Curtis Mayfield. The We're Gonna Make It side.
Right.
And the other side is called Help the Man.
Yeah, I think Mara Stewart wrote that.
I think maybe Rich Tufo is the guy.
You're right. That's who wrote it, Rich.
Okay. And, Rich Tufo, I think he produced the record, actually.
Oh, okay.
So the thing is, the record got released with Help the Man as the A-side. But in my opinion, and it got released as, usually it got released as a promo without the B-side.
Uh-huh.
But if you buy it and find it as a stock copy that's got both sides, it's got the B-side, which is called We're Gonna Make It, and it's an awesome kind of Curtis Mayfield ripoff. It sounds like Move On Up, and it's an awesome record.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really, like, it's like a really kind of positive, kind of conscious Black Power type record. It sounds like Move On Up. So, and now it's actually become a really popular record in England over the last year.
Uh-huh.
Like the DJs are playing in the clubs now. So
just like Van Gogh, the artist, you become famous after you're gone.
Yeah, and actually, I didn't tell you this, but you know your World Column record, that So Was the Sun, has been popular in England since the 70s, actually.
Oh, wow.
You just but just like in the last year or so, We're Gonna Make It has become really popular over there. So, but it's a great record, and it's good that finally someone's getting the recognition. You're getting recognition on it. So I'm gonna play the record, and we could talk some more.
Okay.
So this is the New World, and this is We're Gonna Make It.
But your love so mean, true understanding become obsolete. Sweet beauty of life almost lost in the street.
We're gonna make it. We're gonna make it. Yeah.
We've got to make it. We're gonna make it, child. I'll be everything for you, 'cause I wanna be true. Really be a friend of the way love you could.
Okay, that was just a group called The New World, and that was a really awesome record called We're Gonna Make It, and that was released around 1974, and was actually, it came out on Polydor Records, which was a larger record label, but the group The New World was signed to Kurt Tom Records, and if you're just tuning in, I have Delroy Bridgman, who sings on that record, and we're talking about his story. So Delroy, but I had asked, so Delroy, who sings on that record?
Bob Redding singing lead. I'm singing second. I think Doyle Cole is singing. I might have been singing baritone, and Maxine is singing the top tenor.
Okay. And I had actually, I talked to Rich Tufo, and I asked him, I'm like, why did that come out on Polydor if you were Kurtom Records? And he just told me that you were trying to, Kurtom was trying to establish relationships with larger labels, and he was just trying to get bigger distribution. But it's too bad that they didn't release that song as the A-side, because that was a great song.
You know, that's the first time I heard that song in about 30 years.
Yeah, but it's good that you're finally getting some recognition on it, so hopefully something, I mean, but yeah, like, people are really, like, starting, at least overseas, people are really starting to look for that record now, so.
Oh, good. Maybe they reissue it, make some more copies of it.
Yeah, I hope it comes out somehow, but I hope something happens with it. So, was that the only two sides that the New World recorded at Kurt Tom Records?
Yes, I think so.
So what was the story? How come the New World were a whole band, and then you ended up only being a vocal group at Kurt Tom? What was the story?
The story was they used Curtis Mayfield Band. They used studio musicians.
Okay.
And I guess that would make the band members angry, you know, but it wasn't nothing against them. I guess they just wanted the best musicians, you know,
for
a record, you know.
So did they sign a contract with the New World only as the vocal group and just drop? Did you just drop the band?
No, we didn't drop them, but I think they just got angry and left, you know.
So the musicians playing are pretty much the same musicians as on, like, Move On Up and Superfly and
right.
Stuff. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So like, Master Henry Gibson and, like, those same musicians, right?
Yeah.
And you were telling me some story before about how you were actually hanging out at Kurt Tom when Superfly was recorded.
Oh, we were doing, when they signed us, we were recording, and they let us come in to sit in on the recording session. You know, they were just finishing up, and all this time, I found it very interesting. I'm trying to figure out how this music is going to fit to a movie. But when I saw the movie, it just, everything fitted right in.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
So how long were the New World together at Kurt Tom before you broke up or left Kurt Tom?
Not too long.
So did
not
the,
too long? Maybe, not even maybe several months, you know, because we were all working, you know, like, you know, Bob was a teacher and Joe was a mailman and I was a steel worker, and we had to go to the job every day because still had a family, you know, because sometimes we would play. Would you believe this, in Madison, if the gig started on a Friday, it was okay, but if it started on a Thursday, we would drive all the way back after we finished doing the gig so we could do Friday, that last day of work, and then go back up there to the gig for the next night. So it was a rough life.
So even though Kurt Tom recorded you without your band, the New World still existed with the band, and you still did shows with the band.
Right, but at that long, about that time, I don't think we were doing too many shows. We just chilled out from the shows, you know, just concentrate on that recording. And after it didn't do that well, then I think we just faded away from singing, period. Not, you know, just concentrated on the job and whatever we were doing, you know.
Okay.
Make a livelihood.
So what music stuff have you done since the mid-70s? Where have you been in any other groups or bands or solo stuff?
Well, I sing in a doo-wop group now, and these guys got together strictly for our own enjoyment, you know, because we've all sung professional in the past. But then a few people heard us, and everyone wants us to sing now. And I say, hey, we've been there and done that, you know, we're old men now, but the voices are still there. And after us, there are no more, you know.
So
but the old doo-woppers, they're all faded off, faded away and died off, you know.
So you guys are like the super group of all the remaining surviving doo-wop
right.
soul groups of Gary, right?
Yes.
So what's the name of your group that you're singing in now?
Just Friends.
And I know someone else who I interviewed who was in the Passions is in your group now too, right?
Yeah, John Coleman.
And who else is in your group, and what other groups do they sing in?
Well, I have Charles Croquette, who sings bass for us, and he also sings with the Spaniels.
But he wasn't, didn't he
sing? He sung with the Goldenrods back in the day.
Yeah.
And who else in the group sung with the Goldenrods? Jimmy Johnson, that sings first tenor, he sung with the Goldenrods. And, well, like you know, John Coleman sung with the Passions.
Okay.
And then Sam Elmore, he's just been singing around, but I don't think he's sung in any groups. You know, he's the youngest guy in the group, but he does most of the lead singing, has a beautiful voice.
And I saw you guys perform at
Central High School.
Yeah, in East Chicago, and you guys were great. You guys did great harmony.
So
it was great to see the authentic kind of doo-wop,
right?
Because you don't see that anymore because people don't know how to do that anymore.
No, see, we could sing with the music or without a cappella, you know.
So I really appreciate you guys keeping that alive.
Oh, we're trying. As long as we're alive, we're going to do it. But hey, like I say, we're getting old.
but you got to keep on trucking, keeping on.
As long as the health hold up, I'll try.
So thanks so much for telling your story. You were an interesting part and piece of the Gary East Chicago puzzle, having sung in so many groups and being a piece of so many recordings in the Gary and East Chicago history.
My pleasure.
Okay, well, do you have any last words for the listening audience?
What would the world be like without music?
That's a good thought. Well, thanks again, and thanks so much for telling your story. I can't thank you enough. And on that note, I'm going to play one more record, which hopefully people can hear your voice on in the background. This is the Jackson 5 with Big Boy.
All righty.
Okay, here it is.